Our readings for tonight are from the lectionary, Sunday's lectionary, and they are, we'll use the psalm and a reading from 1 Corinthians. So Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My rock, my mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches do increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work. Amen. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The appointed time is growing short, brothers and sisters. You didn't realize that the Apostle Paul started the I mean movement, did you? But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 proves it. Yes, I added the like for kind of a cultural emphasis. But the I mean of the verse is a literal translation. I mean, the appointed time is growing short, my friends. Is this I mean still a thing? I don't hear it as much as I used to, but a lot of times teenagers and others would use the like I mean, you know. Paul not only began that movement, but he also began the time is short movement. And that was a couple thousand years ago. And preachers ever since have been pounding the pulpit and saying, time is growing short. I've got a video tonight that I hope is queued up. This is a video that kind of reinforces what I'm saying. This is a video of Billy Graham, probably from the late 60s or the early 70s. And so let's watch that now.
Short. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If someone had told me when I was 20 years old that life was very short and would pass just like that, I wouldn't have believed it. And if I tell you that, you don't believe it either. I cannot get young people to understand how brief life is, how quickly it passes. It seems like yesterday I was in school. Every one of us here has been given the same amount of time in a day. 1,440 minutes a day, 168 hours per week. 70 years God allows us. And it's interesting to me, with all of our medical science, we've never passed that magic mark. The average American male today lives 70 years and 4 months. The average female, 73 years and 6 months. More people live to be 70, but the average age of an American is still 70, as taught in the scriptures. What a thing it is when you think that you have just one short life to spend and it'll soon be over. I'd write down my priorities in life, and I'd get committed to certain priorities. Now is the accepted time, the things we ought to do, the classes we ought to take, the books we ought to read. Do it now. The family that needs you, spend more time now. Write that letter home now that you've been meaning to write. Money you ought to give now. Time for study, do it now. People you ought to witness to, do it now. Every time the clock ticks, it seems to say now. Today, if you will hear his voice. There may not be a tomorrow for you and for me, because there's a warning to time. Time is running out for all of us. Time is too short for indecision and vacillation. Do not halt between two opinions. Fools say that time is long. Every morning we have 86,400 seconds to spend and to invest. And each day the bank named time opens a new account for you and for me. It allows no balances and no overdrafts. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. The Bible says redeem the time, because the days are evil. And the days in which we're living are very evil. If there was ever a time for the gospel that can transform the human heart, it's now. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him that sent us. The night is coming when no man can work. The night is going to come in your life. Yet there was a serenity about the work of the Lord Jesus. It's the quality of life, not the length. Jesus only had 33 years, and it ended on the cross. To the world, he was a failure at that moment. Yet at the end of his life, he said, I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. It doesn't matter whether you live another year or 2 years or 5 years. Will your work be finished? Is there a quality to it? Is there a dedication to it? Suppose all of our members tithe their time to witness for Christ as we tithe our income for the church. Fill your heart with the word of God. I've found that those who know the scriptures are the ones that have the power today. But we need men and women who walk with God. And if you do that, you too can finish the work that God gave you to do. And help us to realize the brevity and the urgency of time. And may we invest what little time we have in the kingdom of God.
How did he start that piece? Time is short. Time is short. Paul said it. Billy Graham said it. I've said it. There's a clock in, I believe it's Avoca, Iowa, on the clock tower on the city hall or the courthouse that says it may be later than you think. But you might understand, if I'm a little hesitant to embrace either of these movements, I mean the I mean movement or the time is short movement. The problem with me joining the I mean movement, well, it's just not me. And the problem with me embracing the pulpit-pounding proclamation, time is short movement, first of all, is that I'm not convinced it's true in the way that Paul meant it. Jesus will come soon and bring with him the parousia, the end, time, judgment, that separation of the sheep and the goats, the destruction and the salvation of humankind. And even if I do join the movement and people do listen, and that's a big if, as most won't, instead of focusing on what Paul and most preachers, including Billy Graham, want the message to elicit from the listener, The exact opposite is what listener hears or and does. Instead of allowing that proclamation that time is short to change present behavior, to become focused on the present moment and serving God, hearers often focus on follow-up questions like, when will the end come? Or how will it happen? Or what are the signs that I should look for? They focus on the end that is coming rather than the message that time is short and now. Billy Graham did a good job. Now is the time. Now is the time to focus on God's work. Now is the time to invest what you have, who you are, in the work that God calls us to do together. In proclaiming to his listeners that time was short, Paul follows up with these words, from now on, those are action words, from now on, now that you've heard this message, that time is short, from now on, he says, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Paul is expecting Jesus to return momentarily before his death. And the thought of that possibility kept Paul from investing in the world. It kept him focused on proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And that was a good thing for the birthing church that he was building and serving. Stop investing in the things of the world. Stop letting the things of the world distract you from serving God and God's church, Paul was saying. And stop letting it stop you from investing in your relationship with God. That was Paul's message. But it's important to understand that Paul isn't proclaiming or preaching doctrine here. He's not creating rules or laws, but instead, he is giving words of encouragement for you and I, for any who will listen, to set priorities for our lives, to set priorities for our marriages and our relationships, to set priorities for our work and our energy. So let's admit it. There are so many things that distract us from our relationship with God. Good things like spousal relationships and relationships with children and relationships with friends and technology and work. And there are also bad things, behaviors that hurt our bodies, minds, and souls. Our worries, our anxieties, our fear, all these things threaten our investment in our relationship and our work with and for God. All Paul says are called to abstain from the bad things that take you from God, and some are called to abstain even from the good things to accomplish God's work. So for those who can, Paul says, abstain from marriage, from the entanglements of the world in order to serve God, and those who can't, and those who can't, embrace what is good, spouse, family, world, and together stay focused on God and God's work of love and service. The important thing to understand is whether the return of Jesus that ushers in the end and the new beginning, whether that is near or far, the important thing to understand is that Jesus is with us now. He's with us now, and we have work to do. Work in the church, work in our vocations, work in our relationships, work that honors God and brings glory to God's name, work that reveals the work of Jesus, that Jesus has already done to save the world, work the work of the cross and resurrection, a work that frees us from fear and sin and death, from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and work that liberates all people to live for God. In Matthew's gospel, we hear these words, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It seems to me that Psalm 62 helps us better today, helps us better get to the underlying wisdom that Paul is trying to raise up. Jesus and the Word want to reveal to us this wisdom. "For God alone my soul waits in silence." Waits in silence. A decluttered life. Waiting in silence for the Lord. "From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken." Last week we heard that nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. But nearly everything can distract us. It can shake up our world when we get too entangled with it. "I shall never be shaken," the psalmist says. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath, and those of high estate are a delusion. In the balance, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in the riches of the world. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work." The wisdom is that those of low estate and those of high estate are but a breath and a delusion. And in the balance, they go up and we are lighter than a breath. Our lives, whether of high or low estate, rich or poor, our next breath, our tomorrow, our next week, our next year, our plans are not guaranteed. They are light. They're like a breath. They are vapor-like. So our time and how we invest it is precious. It is precious, and we have decisions to make. It can be meaningful and important. Because in Jesus, our lives can matter. They can make a difference. They can bear the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all which reflect the love of God to others around us. Psalm 90, verses 3 and 4 says, "You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night." You see, to God, our lives are short. To God, our lives are but a blink, but a whisper, a breath. God wants our lives to count. So don't waste it. Make each day count for God. There's an urgency in that. That's the urgency that this message is trying to create. Time is short. I had thought about trying to reach out to some of our high school seniors, and I think it'd be interesting to have a conversation with a junior in high school and a senior in high school. A junior in high school still thinks they have got a lot of time left. But when that senior, the school doors open on that senior year, they start to realize something. They start to realize that life is going to change, that year will go quickly, and that they have decisions to make about how they will prepare for what comes next. And this is the kind of urgency that Paul wants from us, Billy Graham wants from us, that I want from us, that the Scripture calls forth from us, a recognition that life is precious and it's quickly moving and it quickly changes. Nothing is guaranteed, and so now is the time. Usually it's old people who say life is short and time is passing quickly. So this last video that I want to show, it's just a few minutes long. It's from a young person. And again, I don't endorse his belief that Jesus will come, tomorrow or in the next week or month. But I don't deny that it couldn't, that Jesus couldn't. Jesus may very well come soon, and that'd be awesome. And if it's God's will, so be it. And this young man has had a dream about the end of the world, and I just want to say many people have dreams about the end of the world. But what I want you to see, this service is often attended by young people. What I want you to see is that this young man is online and he's using his life to do one particular thing, and that is to point to Jesus. He is trying to help you and I see Jesus. And of that, and for that, I am grateful, whether he's right or wrong about the timeline. And he does it because he has a belief that Jesus is faithful and that Jesus is coming. And so let's watch this in conclusion.
What's up, brothers and sisters? I hope you guys are having a blessed day so far. I'm Colton from Seeking Wisdom, and I want to share with you guys a dream that I had not last night, but two nights ago. I was meaning to come on and post it yesterday, but I got really busy with school and homework and stuff like that. But today I'm free and I can share with you guys a little bit of backstory before I get into the dream. I work as a delivery driver for an Italian restaurant, so from like 5 to 10 usually, or 5 to 9 usually. On Saturdays it's to 10. But in the dream, I was delivering food, right? And I got to the restaurant. The whole night, it was not really busy. And I remember it was like 8:58 or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I only got 2 more minutes. I'm ready to go. Time's almost up, you know? And then I got a delivery, boom. And I remember thinking in my head, oh, wow, I have this delivery. 2 minutes left until we close down, but I had to go take it. And I remember it's like, all right, guys, come on. Like, let's hurry up. Let's get it out so I don't have to be too late. And I remember so vividly, I was in the restaurant. I was packing up the food. And I remember looking at my watch. I'm like, all right, 1 minute left, 1 minute left. Time's, I got to hurry up, 1 minute left. And then I went out the back door. And just a little bit of background story. The real back door, it's a parking lot. So there's like cars and stuff like that. And I open the back door and it's nighttime. And I open it up and all I see is black, burnt ground and flaming cars on fire. They're on fire. And I'm running around with the bag. I'm like, where's my car? Where's my car? Because I could not find it. And I remember then I found it and it's just completely burnt to crisp black and it was on fire. And, you know, I truly believe, guys, that was it, but I truly believe judgment is coming soon. The rapture of the church is imminent, and it's so soon, guys. I mean, we need to be about the Father's business. We need to continue to tell people about Jesus, you know, because time's short, and we need to start gathering people up and pointing them all to Jesus, you know. And this channel, all it is all for God's glory. All it is to point people to Jesus, not to me, because I don't want anybody to follow me. I want everyone to follow Jesus, the one and only true King. And we are saved by grace through faith. I believe that firmly, and I'm going to stay by that because nothing we can ever do will ever, we could never boast about anything we could do because we couldn't earn it and we don't deserve it, but it's by grace, something that we couldn't earn and we don't deserve. And that's what I'm so thankful for, because, you know, we do fall, but we have him to pick us back up and we continue. You know, repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. And if you're in Christ, you are saved. Okay, I'm going to stand by that.
Urgency for the word.